verse, Jesus said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we praise you this day for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit from Jesus Christ at your right hand, grant unto us this same Spirit so that we might find comfort in the gospel of your Son and boldness to be his witnesses in this world. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen. Christ is promising in our gospel text the Holy Spirit will be sent, and we've relived some of that history in the last few weeks of the church calendar. We remember that when Jesus ascended into heaven, the disciples were very curious whether he was going to establish an earthly kingdom, and Jesus sort of sidesteps the question altogether and tells the disciples a command. He says to them to remain in Jerusalem until they receive the promise of the Father. And as Jesus is reminding them of the promise of the Father, these words must aliven in their hearts that he had told them that the Holy Spirit would be sent to them. But Jesus is arranging this for the New Testament church in such a way that we see that we are not abandoned. We as a church are not on our own. Although Christ is not visibly present with us, his Holy Spirit rains down upon the church. And the Holy Spirit is not here to grab the limelight in the church, but as Jesus says, he will bring to your mind all things that I have commanded you. And so even in this period between his ascension and the Pentecost, the birth of the church, Jesus is making it clear that he is Lord and in command, because his word, which they loved because they loved the Lord, kept them in Jerusalem. It made them so that they stayed together as a congregation and would not scatter. And more than a command, it was linked to the promise of Christ that he would send them the Holy Spirit. And as they lingered for 10 days, they didn't have television to watch. They didn't have the sports to turn on. They no doubt contemplated and wondered what this promise of the Father would be like. But when Jesus fulfilled that promise, there could be no doubt. From heaven they heard the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And from heaven came down flames and fire that rested upon these disciples and filled these disciples so that Joel's promise, prophecy in the Old Testament would be here fulfilled. And all of the people, men, women, and children, who were beneficiaries of the Spirit-filled preaching of the apostles, would see not in a vision, but in the words of the apostles, what all of the prophets of the Old Testament had desired to look upon. The salvation that was given to all the world in the bloody death and glorious resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this Spirit-filled message was not without effect. It frightened the people of Jerusalem, because those pilgrims who had gathered for this feast were struck with terror at their sin as he reminded them that you put to death the Lord of glory. And they were so frightened, they say, "Brothers, what must we do to be saved?" And the gospel was then preached to those souls hungering for life and forgiveness with the words of Christ's bloody death, so that this Pentecost feast is often called the birth of the New Testament church. That under the command and the promise of Jesus, 3,000 were baptized into the name of Jesus Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and a believing community was gathered there in Jerusalem, just as we are gathered in our day. But what we want to focus our attention in this morning's sermon is in the necessity of the Holy Spirit. Without this promise of Jesus Christ, the apostles would have forgotten everything that they learned, and they would have been subsumed by fear of all of their enemies and would have cowered and imploded in that room in Jerusalem. But empowered by the power of God, for the Holy Spirit is God, they would remember all things that Jesus had taught them and teach it to others. And they would bring the comfort and peace that Jesus has earned for all sinners through his blood and forgiveness to all who would be a part of his body, the church. And so we give thanks this day for the work of the Holy Spirit, first of all, as a necessity for the apostles, and second of all, as a necessity for us as believers in Christ. So first of all, how crucial the Holy Spirit was for the apostles' work. When we consider the apostles, we must understand that they were men that were just like us. They were as forgetful and fallible as us, and Scripture even records some of their downfalls and fallibility. And so when we consider our own selves and the things that we write or say, we have to admit the truth that often we make mistakes. Someone came up to me last night before service and reminded me that we had a mistake in our bulletin because the church secretary is not infallible and her proofreader, me, is also not infallible. And so there comes an attitude when people look at the Bible and they understand that it is written by fallible people, that perhaps there could be mistakes in it, because we know ourselves that we are fallible and prone to mistakes, so why not the apostles? In fact, if you've ever gotten into a theological discussion with someone and they are found in error according to the Word of God, and you bring the passages of Scripture that reveal the error of their thinking and the truth of God's Word, most often the excuse that comes back is, well, the Bible was written by fallible men. Maybe it's not right there. And that's the argument of the devil to Adam and Eve in the garden. Hath God really said? And the fact of Jesus' promise in this text is that every word of Holy Scripture is exactly what God said. If it were up to the apostles, they certainly would have made mistakes. But Jesus promises here of the Holy Spirit, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. And this is the reliance that we have in Scripture, that Jesus spoke these very words, that the apostles have the breath of God in their words. They have the Holy Spirit in the very words that God is giving them to speak, so that when the apostles speak, they speak not the fallible words of men, but as oracles of God. They are speaking the very truth of God's word. And if I'm asked for proof of that assertion, the only proof I have of it is what Jesus says. And bottom line, if you love Jesus and your salvation that he earned for you, as Jesus says, if you love him, you keep his words. And he diagnoses those that throw his words away as those who do not love him and therefore are not a part of his body. So it is a general tenet of all believers that they accept the Bible and its witness of Jesus as being the absolute infallible truth of God's word, and they honor that word in that way. That when they are corrected from that word, they stand corrected. And that's the very definition of a heretic. A heretic loves his words, especially when his words contradict Jesus' words, and such a person cannot be saved without repentance for their belligerence and their pride over and against God. And so the apostles need the Holy Spirit in order to remember the things that Christ taught them. They were fallible like us, But if they were filled with the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit would reliably give to their mouths the very words of Christ and everything that he taught them. And what that affirms for us is that when the apostles speak, and we never heard an apostle speak, we saw them write, we received the word of God from them hundreds and thousands of years later, but we have the assurance that the Spirit was in the word that they spoke, and the Spirit is still in the word that is transmitted reliably through the church. And so when a pastor or a teacher rightly teaches God's word, it is the Holy Spirit that is bringing that truth into the hearts of Christians. And the reason that we love it so much is that it is the saving truth. We understand as sinners that there is no answer for our sin. We understand as sinners that we can do nothing but keep on sinning. We understand that sin is such an affliction for us that if it is up to us for an answer, we have no answer at all. But all of the answer is found in Jesus Christ. All of the despair that a sinner rightly has over his sin is answered purely and plainly and truthfully from God's own mouth in the gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. And more than just being truth, it is the power of God into salvation. We do not have the power to choose Christ. Scripture says in Isaiah 52, he had no form or comeliness that we should choose him. Jesus says in John chapter 15, you did not choose me, but I chose you. The Bible never calls believers the choosing ones. They're always called the chosen ones, which means God chose them. And so in that choice of God, this gospel is the power of God into salvation. When the gospel comes to the chosen of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, when and where he wills, works salvation in their heart so that the gospel is not giving a choice to people, but is expressing God's choice to us. I have chosen you. I have made you my child, and your child you will be. And for the apostles, this is the good news. I'm not going into the world and causing trouble in the world and getting all this peace because I chose to do it. My Lord chose me to share his lot in the world. To know the truth in a world that loves the lie, to speak of the love of God in the hateful world of Satan, to have a target on my back just as my Lord had a target on his back, and the apostles could therefore not shrink away from all of those challenges, but say to the Lord, take my life and let it be dedicated, Lord, to thee. Take my silver and my gold. Take everything I have and use it as you wish. Live or die, I live or die to you. And the apostles were such beautiful examples that they adorned the stained glass windows in many churches. Because as the sunlight streams through their faces, the light of God and the Holy Spirit streamed through their faces, and the word of God came to people lost in sins. And by God's choice and power and truth, they were created anew and became children of God. Secondly, briefly, we want to talk about how crucial the Holy Spirit is for us to be saved. Scripture tells us where faith comes from. Just as we did not create ourselves, but God created us, we did not come up for faith in ourselves, but God created faith in us. St. Paul says clearly, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And what does that mean? God sees each and every one of you as redeemed in Jesus Christ. And he not only redeemed you through his blood, he brought the word of the gospel and holy baptism to each and every one of you, so that you could know that he not only saved the world, but he saved you. And that is when our faith goes from the devil's faith, For the devil knows that Christ saved all the world, to personal faith that saves us, that he not only saved the world from their terrible sins, but most importantly, he died on the cross for my sins, to remove my terrible sins. And when I was baptized under the command of Christ and under the promise of Christ, it was a fine day in my life, because according to the word of God and promise of God, in my baptism, I was baptized into the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The very salvation that God earned for me was brought to me in the waters of holy baptism. And it set me out in a life of repentance before I could even know what repentance was. That I should daily die to sin with Christ who died for my sin on the cross and rise again in new life that is righteous before God, not because it comes from me, but because it is enriched in the Holy Spirit. It has its origin in the Word of God incarnate, Jesus Christ, and it is given to me as a free gift. And only the Holy Spirit works such things. That's why St. Paul says in Titus 3, according to his mercy he saved us, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy, through the washing, that's water, through the washing of regeneration, that's water of rebirth, regeneration, and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he hath poured, water again, poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so, as we have said, it is not we who choose Christ, but Christ who chooses us. He chooses to bring us the gospel in the preached and taught word and in the sacrament of holy baptism and in the Lord's Supper. He gives us the gifts of the Holy Spirit through this abundant word of salvation that lifts our hearts from sorrow to the joys that we have in Jesus Christ. And though this gospel does not bring us peace in the world, for it is persecuted by all who hate it, it is persecuted by all unbelievers, it is shunned and avoided by those who do not know and accept God's love, though it does not bring us peace in the world, it does bring us Jesus' peace. That no matter how he was opposed, he was a child of God. No matter how much he was slandered, it was false, because he did the will of God. And no matter how much he was rejected by the world, he was accepted and beloved by the Father. Our graduates who are leaving Emmanuel Lutheran School this day, this is the benefit that you have in coming to Emmanuel Lutheran School. That day by day you have received the Word of God, and in that Word of God was the Holy Spirit, who is stronger than your sin, stronger than death, and stronger than this world. It is the foundation that will allow you to grow more and more by the Spirit's power in grace and holiness, in your knowledge of God, and in your pleasing service to other people. For that's what we are as Christians. We show forth the glory of God by declaring and confessing Jesus, who is the light of the world. And in doing so, even if we are rejected for it, we serve God and our fellow man, because we give them the best gift that God has ever given us, our Jesus and our salvation and the Spirit that he sends to keep us strong in the faith and in service to God and our neighbor. May you always, and may we always, appreciate this gift given to us of the Holy Spirit, and may he make us firm in our faith unto our end. Amen. And may the peace that gives us, that surpasses all understanding, then keep our hearts and our minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.